Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
Brought to you by nice. GameStop, SureToSource, and BuzzTime. It's the gaming segment.
Woo!
Yay!
Hey, Justin, here's some Flappy Bird. You remember Flappy Bird?
It was
so much fun way back when.
Dude, I went through the 12-step program. Stop.
All right. Yeah, I'm just saying, it's not on your phone.
I thought it was the 12-tap program.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Get to your news.
All right, fine. Okay, so the Xbox 360, arguably the most popular console of the prior generation outside of something
worst
named
console
Wii.
Ever.
but now it's coming to an end. Microsoft announced on April 20th on 420, yeah, I know, that they would no longer make any new Xbox 360 consoles. Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, said that, hey, we've had an amazing run. The realities of manufacturing a product that's more than 10 years old are just starting to creep up on us. And also, there's the fact that they really want you to buy an Xbox One instead. So
what you're saying is the area of manufacturing that was solely devoted to making Xbox 360s got the red ring of death.
Yeah, it took a while, but it finally happened. So,
successful console so far.
support will continue for Xbox Live services for online gaming. The Games with Gold program will continue, and so on and so forth. But they won't be making any more new Xbox 360s. So, kind of an end of an era for a lot of people, especially a lot of our listeners. Who went Xbox 360 in the last generation. Speaking of the last generation, Shadow Complex was a really good Xbox 360 game. It got remastered and is coming to the PS4. That'll be sometime in May. If you've ever enjoyed a side-scrolling Metroid or Castlevania game and you like the Metal Gear Solid sensibilities and storytelling, you should probably pick it up. It's pretty good. Got a couple reviews. And I guess first let's get to the other big piece of news. Amazon doing Amazon things. So, all right.
Amazon doing its Amazon thing.
Yeah.
You know, ignoring men.
So,
pissing people off from A to Z.
So I noticed, you know, and every time I've complained about Amazon's increasing dependency on Prime, which, you know, Prime is a good deal. I get that. But I usually get met with the same argument of, well, just get Prime. You know, oh, okay, no. But now they are starting to block certain products from even being purchased from Amazon unless you have a Prime membership. It's essentially, hey, pay us for the privilege of shopping here. They're becoming Sam's Club, if you will. Now they're locking video games, certain video games, behind the Prime wall. And those include, they're not just little titles either. They're Dishonored,
no.
Metal Gear Solid
Grand
5.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah. Minecraft, FIFA. Some of the bigger titles, especially FIFA, when you consider worldwide appeal that soccer has. So I guess it's just mind-boggling to me that they think that this won't backfire for non-Prime members. I could get a Prime membership and buy the game from Amazon, or I could keep not having a Prime membership and just go to literally anywhere else and buy the game, especially now that Best Buy price matches Amazon online. So,
Nice.
Yeah. So,
either that or sign up for Prime and or get the trial membership, the free trial membership. Buy the game, get the free 2-day shipping, and then discontinue.
Yeah, but you can only do that free trial actually, like once.
That's actually what Amazon suggested people do. The people who were complaining said, well, you can sign up for the month and then just discontinue it. That's beside the point.
It is.
Also like, what?
They beat me at my own chicanery. Damn.
Well, and first off, I think you're right, Darren. I don't think it's going to win them any new fans. But I do get it. They're trying to increase the value of their product. In this case, Prime being the product. But what I think it's doing, it's in reality, it's putting a false barrier between the clients and their products, you know, that aren't Prime. If they wanted to do this better, and assume for a moment that you want to make Prime really a value, well, then you still have the example I saw yesterday when I was double checking to see if this was actually a thing, is I looked up Birdman on Blu-ray. Only available to Prime members at like $12.99. You know, that's a pretty good price for the Blu-ray and free 2-day shipping and so forth. But they could have easily had $12.99 on Prime, $19.99 for non-Prime.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's available to everybody, but if you have signed up for this other service of ours and you've paid for it, well, then here's a place where you can start getting some of your money back.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been a much more... It would have been a much more savvy way of going about it. Just saying, it's like Cartman when he got the amusement park. You know, it's my amusement park, and you can't come. It's like, oh, look at all these movies and games, but you can't buy them. Unfortunately, this is the real world and not South Park, so I'm guessing they're not going to see a huge number of people like, well, I got to use Prime now. I want to save $9 on a movie. Then again, I might be underestimating the stupidity of, you know, the human species.
Let's face it, the human species has done some pretty stupid things in its existence.
This is true. But ultimately, what they're doing is they're being the schoolyard bully, you know, holding their ball out of reach and then say, you want it? You want it? Huh? Huh? You want it? You got to say the magic word. Yeah, whatnot. And I'm an adult. If I didn't have Prime, I think my response will be, welp. Guess I'm going to go buy this somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best Buy and GameStop both carry the games that I want. Walmart and Target carry the games that I want.
Right. And all four of those examples, you can have your item shipped to the store and you can pick it up the same day usually. So.
Yeah. So.
GameStop carries the games that I want. See, yeah. I tied in the sponsor.
I think I said Best Buy and GameStop.
Oh, you did? Okay, never mind. I rescind my...
But GameStop does carry all the games.
Well, yeah, it does. I'm not denying that, but I rescind my taunting of Chad.
Yeah, I mean, they've got great deals,
by the
way. I
appreciate that.
You're welcome.
But, when I can look at my nearest towns and realize that I've got 5 stores within 20 minutes of me that would all sell the video games or the movies that Amazon's putting behind a wall, I'm not all that compelled to get Prime just so I can get Birdman on Blu-ray. You can still get it on DVD, by the way, without the Prime.
Oh, well.
But it cost you $20.
Of course.
It seems like such a silly thing to do.
Yeah.
Something that could have been done much better. I'm going to suggest average dudes.
Yeah.
And we came up with a better approach to it that neither alienates nor inconveniences their customer base.
And if
go us.
And if they want to pay us for that marketing idea, they should do that.
We will let them.
Feel free.
We won't even fight you.
We will just take your money.
All right. So I've got a couple of reviews. One is going to be really short. So I'll get that one out of the way. Star Fox Zero is out on the Wii U. The controls suck. Don't buy it. Okay.
That it was three sentences.
Yeah, it was three sentences. That's what I promised.
That's
so
really kind of amazing. When we were preparing to record, we were off air, and he said it was three sentences. I doubted. I did not believe Darren when he said it would be a three-sentence review.
Especially in the Cliff Notes version he gave us, he only used two sentences. I'm like, what's the third sentence? What could you pop?
And really, one of those sentences was just kind of a fragment.
Yeah.
So it was like 1.5 sentences off air. It's like, how do you double that? It was so clear at a sentence and a half. And yet, I felt like I got a full experiential review in just three sentences. This is magical.
Yeah, I think
this is why he does what he does.
Yes, I think Darren should start reviewing all things within three sentences.
Let's see how he does with the backlog.
Yeah.
There's
could
there's
you
no
do
way.
Your backlog in three sentences?
There's no way I can do my backlog in three sentences. Not this one, anyway.
How many semicolons would he need? It's like, it's only three sentences. However, each sentence is about 270 words long.
If we could get Yahtzee on.
No verbs.
No verbs. Even better, he should do all of his reviews in haiku.
Ooh.
Technically, that's still three sentences. Line, line, line.
17 syllables. Can you do any of your reviews in 17 syllables?
I did.
No more, no less. 17 shall be the number of the syllables.
I was not. I was
18
not prepared.
Shall not be the number, nor 16, except when immediately followed by 17.
19 is right out.
I was not prepared to do a haiku or a three sentence review of Fable 2. So, that being said.
Well, he sits here furiously typing on his keyboard. 17. God bless it. I need one more syllable. Fuck.
That's it.
Well, that's both a verb and. All right, anyway. So.
It's a magical word, that one.
The year of backlog continues. I picked up one of my favorite games, and it's Fable 2, Xbox 360. Oh, guys, this did not age well.
How poorly did it age?
Let me just say that when I started up the game, and you know, the game starts with you living on the streets, you're a homeless child. The opening cutscene is this bird flying majestically over this Victorian landscape, and then the camera zooms in as the bird lands on a chimney, and then it poops, and the camera follows the poop down until it hits your character in the head. And the metaphor of being shat on by a bird is pretty much how you'll feel after playing 40 hours of Fable 2. In that,
it took you 40 hours to realize it was that bad?
No. See, here's the thing. It's not a bad game necessarily as far as concept. It's a bad game as far as execution. Fable 2, oh, which, again, is a game that I loved. And I still have strong feelings for. But now it's more of a distant friends that hooked up one night when they were drunk kind of feelings instead of love. So let me put it like this. You spend all this time.
For a split second, I thought he was going to sing. Let me put it to you like this. I could have played all night.
The combat from Fable 1 was nice, and it was very similar to Kingdoms of Amalur. You know, it was satisfying, but you could still kind of button mashy kind of thing. Fable 2's combat tried to replicate that, but instead, I don't know what they did to make it different, but it's almost like your character was afraid to swing his sword. When you mash the attack button, he's just kind of like half swinging or something. So combat is drawn out. Your attacks feel a lot weaker now for whatever reason. They got rid of the bow and arrow and they put in guns, which sounded like a good idea in theory, but unfortunately means that you need to shoot some guy like 8 or 10 times to kill him, which I'm pretty sure that's not accurate. But, you know, combat's your standard action RPG. Storyline, you go through life with this canine companion as you try to hunt down the guy who killed your sister because he was looking for some kind of magical MacGuffin. And, you know, you meet all these other heroes and, you know, you're having a grand adventure and you have a spouse and you have a kid and everything's going great until you stop and realize that literally every single townsperson, including your spouse, looks the same. And you remember how I mentioned that... you were homeless as a kid. Well, the clothing is raggedy and you're like, oh, well, it's because they're homeless. No, apparently everyone dresses like that. So you could have all the money and still look homeless. It's a game where you can have a job. So when you're not busy slaying monsters, you can do blacksmithing and wood chopping and bartending. And then you can use that money to buy houses and stuff. And yeah. But oh.
So
but
it's
there's
career
like a
simulator?
What'd you say?
It's career simulator, Victorian edition?
It kind of is.
So I guess I have a question. Were you playing this on PC or on Xbox?
I was playing it on Xbox One through their backwards compatibility thing, which lends to another problem. I don't remember the game being this choppy or riddled with slowdown, but it slows down considerably when there's more than a couple of enemies on the screen. And not just a little. I'm talking, you know, Matrix bullet time slow motion. It's bad. It's bad. The magic spells feel like they have no impact whatsoever. But anyway, you get through this storyline and then the bad guy shows up and he kills your family and he kills your dog, the bastard. And you have to fight your...
Go John Wick on his ass.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, so it's a prequel to John Wick?
Yeah, well, you fight your way through his evil, you know... evil minions, you get to his lair, and the final boss fight, you don't even get to kill him. See, he's got three other heroes being held hostage, and he stops to monologue, and one of the other heroes, who by the way is a bastard, just shoots him. That's it. Anticlimactic. It's just, that's no final boss fight, just bang. Huh. So... that's resolution, I guess. Oh, but you do get a wish at the end of the game. You can either wish to bring... Go ahead.
I wish to fight the bad guy.
You can either wish to bring your...
I wish to have these 40 hours of my life back.
You can either wish to bring back your family and your dog, or you can wish to revive everyone the villain has ever killed, except your family, because for some reason that's a choice. Or you can just get all the money in the world. Now, Fable 2 has a morality scale. And if you choose anything other than bring back everyone but your family, then you get bad guy points for some reason. I'm sorry, but I want my dog back. I didn't know those people. So, I'm going with the dog. I'm just saying, you know, just saying.
Wait, what kind of dog?
It's a mutt, but he's really good at finding buried treasure. Buried treasure, which...
Yeah, mutts are the best. Go for the dog.
Buried treasure, which includes condoms. Yeah, because your character can have sex.
Good boy!
Your character can have sex and lots of it. But the final choice is indicative of a bigger problem with the morality system in general, in that if you decide, because there's food you can pick up to heal yourself throughout the game, and if you decide to eat anything other than tofu, you get bad guy points.
Is that
it is high in protein though?
is that serious?
I'm serious.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get nothing either way if you eat a veggie, you know. But if you eat meat at all, you get bad guy points.
I would be the baddest hombre this side of the Thames.
Oh, there's a second side effect too. If you eat anything other than tofu and drink anything other than potions, your character gets fat.
That sounds accurate. Yeah. What does fat mean for your character?
It moves really slowly, and when you're in a game that's already that slow, you know, it can be quite a drag. Mm.
So it's like $6 million man running in Matrix bullet time.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
While being filmed by the people who did Baywatch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Fable 2, it's a thing. I would say that Kingdoms of Amalur did it better. This year of backlog is starting to drag on me because I'm revisiting titles and I'm hating them. So
that's kind of what the year of Disney did to me last year.
Yeah.
And I was watching all new stuff to me. It's just like, oh man.
Next month is Kingdom Hearts 1. And you know,
I hope it doesn't suck.
Come for the prepubescent love story and stay for the batshit insanity of Donald Duck and Goofy flying around the universe with a 13-year-old boy.
And stay for the prepubescent love story.
That's my review, and I actually had to make myself do it. All right, Chad, do you have... you have a review.
I do. I bought Ratchet & Clank, the 2016 remade, rebooted movie tie-in, but not really movie tie-in game. I don't know exactly how to describe it. It is beat for beat the exact same story as the original PS2 game. However, now told from the perspective of Captain Copernicus Leslie Quark.
All right.
Who's sitting in prison, and you find that out in the opening cutscene, so not really a spoiler there. It is nostalgia done right. You know, it was dang near perfect for what it needed to be. You can check out my full review on geekcavepodcast.com. If you enjoy the Ratchet & Clank games, go out, buy it, enjoy it. It's selling for cheaper than a full price game, so, and you're getting, you know, depending on how you play, 3 difficulty levels plus a challenge mode where you can play through it again, you know, with harder enemies and keep boosting your weapons. So, but I would say that now that I've had the best possible remake of, well, any game that I've played, I now want them to do the same thing for the original God of War game. You know, go ahead and keep the story beats from God of War. Just now make it for the PS4. You know. And also the first 2 Fallout games.
All right.
I want Fallout 1 and 2 in the same style as Fallout 3 and 4 and New Vegas. Mm.
There'll be some purists that'll fight you on that one.
The what?
There will be some purists that'll fight you on that one. Some people love those first 2 games.
Well, I'm not suggesting that the first 2 games are bad. They're not my style. The isometric
right
view wasn't my thing. That being said, you can get Fallout 1 and 2 and Tactics on GOG.com for pretty inexpensive, and you can get pretty much all of the Fallout games except for 4 in a mini nuke from GameStop.
Nice.
So,
I just want the mini nuke.
I'm not saying replace the other games. I'm just saying I would like a reimagining. I'd like to see them brought back to new hotness.
All right. Anything else?
It's not really a review per se.
A review on a 36-year-old game.
Yeah. My son has recently discovered the joys of Pac-Man. We went out for ice cream one night, and they have one of those old-school Miss Pac-Man Gattaca tabletop things where you sit there and you can watch it on the tabletop while you play. This thing's from like 1984 and still working.
Nice.
And so he's just sitting there watching Miss Pac-Man go around chasing the ghost, and he absolutely loved it. Well, we got home, we dug out our old Nintendo, dusted it off, plugged it in, still works, because of course it does.
Nintendo.
We have a cartridge, we blew in it, popped it in, still works. Even on our nice big flat screen TV, it still works.
Yeah.
And I have forgotten how much fun and how frustrating and infuriating this game can be. I've never known such annoyance as watching this little yellow pizza with a slice missing eat Kick's cereal while cereal marshmallows chase him around a poorly drawn maze. And yet still having fun while doing it. So, Pac-Man, if you see an old school Nintendo system out, buy it. If you find the cartridge, buy it. Find the right hookups for your TV and play it.
All right.
Or maybe just get one of the throwback Atari consoles that have like 50 games pre-plugged into them.
No, because I'm a purist. I have to do it the right way.
Then why are you playing it on a Nintendo instead of an Atari?
Because Atari sucks.
Yeah, the Atari version.
Nintendo had better graphics.
Nintendo don't.
Yeah, and who's still around?
Everybody, really. They're just different forms.
Shut up. Darren's got to close out the segment.
Very well.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. As always, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Radio. And, of course, there's always deepcavepodcast.com, where you can read more about some of the topics that we cover on the show every month. Be sure to check out the comic segment and the movie segment, because that's always a good time as well. GameStop, Shirtosaurus, and BuzzTime bringing you this month's edition of the Deep Cave Podcast.